Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today as we continue on in a message I've entitled The Power of Prevailing Prayer. And we've been looking at two significant times or events in the life of the patriarch Jacob. And in Genesis 28, we're going to now go into a little further detail of the events of what occurred during that period of time, both in Genesis 28 as well as in the 32nd chapter. But as you may recall, Jacob had been fleeing from his brother Esau, who was going to kill him, and he fled at the advice of his mother to stay with his uncle Laban. And he dreamed, verse 12, he saw a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending. And he saw the Lord standing above it. And God speaks to him, and he said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, his personal dad. And he says, the land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And this is important for the Gentiles. And in thee, and in thy seed. And who is the seed of the line of Abraham? Jesus, right? To thee, and to thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And verse 15 says, and behold, I'm with thee, will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And so Jacob vowed a vow, and he said, God, if you're really going to do all that stuff, you'll take care of my needs, give me bread, clothing, then I come into my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And he set a stone that had been his pillow. He said, this shall be God's house, and all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So what do we see? What had happened at this point of time? He was fleeing from his brother. He could not be with his parents. He was going to stay with his uncle Laban. And what we see is that when we go to chapter 32, this was the event when God had spoken to him to leave, and basically there he almost had to escape from his uncle Laban, having been with him for 20 years. But what we see at the beginning of chapter 2, that this is the account of his famous wrestling with the angel, who is Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ. And what we see as that chapter opens, it had been 20 years since he'd actually had that encounter with the Lord at Bethel. And of course, God had been faithful to his promise, what he spoke to him, the scripture I share with you, he'd been faithful. And Jacob could testify in verse 10, he said, with my staff, I passed over this Jordan. That's all he had. He just had a staff. And now I am become two bands. So God promised to preserve Jacob, to be with him, to bring him again to this place at the Jordan, as well as bless his seed, making them as numerous as the dust of the earth. So he had been faithful. God had been faithful to do that. Now let's read verses 1 and 2 of chapter 32. Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. So what do we see? He says that he saw angels, and he said, this is God's host. the word mekaneia means camp or encampment, an army, a host, or a troop, and it is derived from kena, meaning to decline, to bend down, to encamp, to lay siege against. And so it's a Hebrew noun, as it is that. It means also a temporary and protective enclosure for a tribe or army, which may have been circular in shape. So mehaneim is a word used here. It's a dual of mekanea, which means a double camp. The New English Bible says two companies. Modern language says this is God's camp, and he named the place Mehaneim. The Revised Standard says this is God's army. The Living Bible says God lives here, so he named the place God's territory. Okay, so what does that mean? Two companies, two armies. Well, it could be, it's a declaring a sense of protection. It could be one on either side or in the front and on the back. And of course, that would be literally, it would mean protection from Laban, who actually did try to pursue him in the back, and then Esau in the front, the way he was headed, the way he was moving with his family. In other words, it would be a complete guard surrounded by God's favor. And beloved, for us, I mean, that was literally the specifics, details of his situation. But Psalm 91 and 12 says, the same reference that God is with us. Song of Songs and Song of Solomon, if you will, 6:13, the church is referred to as two armies called Mehaneim, or two camps. What will ye see in the Shulamite? As it were, the company of two armies. Think about this, beloved. There's Jacob's family, if you will, the one, we are the children of Abraham, are we not? Spiritual children, all of us, God's people. We're one army. And as far as this natural family, this is everyone on earth, the body of Christ on earth, the church on earth, in battle, beloved. We are in spiritual warfare. And then the other army, if you will, remember it's talking about two companies. It's the natural army on earth, and then there's the angelic host, all of God's angels, and the church triumphant at rest in heaven. God doesn't have two families. He's got one family. Some of us are still on earth. We have many loved ones, don't we, that are already in heaven. But these are the two armies, if you will. Hebrews 12 and 1 says, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I just am taking a moment. I didn't write down. I'm going to look at Psalm 91, and let's see what verse 12 says. Oh, it talks about angels. Verse 11, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. So even in that psalm, it's talking about angelic protection. So we know, according to what Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians, that 6th chapter, verse 12, we don't war against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Do you remember that episode, that event in 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, verse 17? What we see is the Syrians were attacking Israel. They were surrounding the city, and there was Elisha. He wasn't concerned or upset, but his servant was getting very concerned and upset. And so Elisha prays for the servant's eyes to be opened. And he then sees into the spirit realm, the servant does, and he sees the mountain was filled with horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha, the chariots of the Lord, the angels of the Lord, praise God. All right, and so let's go back now to Genesis, the 32nd chapter, and he gives specific directions. He sent messengers before him to Esau, and then he commanded them to, you know, thus say unto my servant Esau, I'm coming back. I've been with Laban. I've stayed there till now. And he's sending presents on before him that I might find, quote, grace in thy sight. So in verse 6 through 8, let me read that. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Uh-oh, that didn't sound good, right? Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and as a method of spiritual or literal, military warfare, if you would, he divided the people that was with him for protection, the flocks and the herds and the camels, into two bands. And he said, if Esau come to one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. So what we see here, this is not a good report. He divided the company in two in preparation for flight, if necessary. He prays and makes the decision not to turn back. This is the important thing. He sends presents ahead, each herd in care of, you know, whether they were lambs or camels, whatever. They had a servant with them, and they were to relate or report to Esau, who had these 400 men, who wants to meet Jacob, obviously, before he sees his father, lest Isaac should intervene and mediate between them. So, well, I see my time is gone, and we're going to stop at this pivotal point, and we will pick up tomorrow at the same place, the same distressing moment in the life of Jacob. And just as Jacob, who was one of the patriarchs, had a critical time of struggle, of seeking God, of needing faith in God, needing a miracle from God, just as God says in his word, he's no respecter of persons, he will be the same for you, beloved, as he was for Jacob. He is a miracle-working God. There, you have no problem that a miracle from God can't solve. So, beloved, if you need a miracle, if you need the support of agreeing prayer, I invite you to note down that mailing address or email that the announcer will give. I'll pray for you, and we'll be back tomorrow at the same time to continue on. Till then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.